Very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of the congregation, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or are doing so after a long while. Can I just bring this sad news of the passing on to glory of one of our property conveners in the name of Ali Dempster? Funeral arrangements are still going on. We do not have any news yet for when this service will take place. And I would like to ask the congregation to keep Janet in prayers and the rest of the family as they mourn their loss during this very difficult moment. Call to worship this morning is from Psalm 71, the verses 14 to 19b. Psalm 71. But as for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 198, let us build a house where love can dwell.
Oh,
Let us pray. God has given us eternal life, and this life is to be found in His Son. He who possesses the Son has life indeed. We can approach God with confidence for this reason. Humbly and reverently, yet freely and gladly, we greet you, our God, the living God. Creator of life, we took our origin from you. Preserver of life, we gather to seek your sustaining strength. Renewer of life, we rejoice in the promise that your blessings are prepared for us. In your amazing grace, most loving Father, you offer us the blessing of forgiveness. We acknowledge that we need to be forgiven, for we have turned aside from the narrow road that leads to life. We repent of our shortcomings in faith, obedience, and brotherly love. Hear us, therefore, when we pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And let us receive from scriptures a word of mercy to all who have sinned. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Accept then the offered pardon and mercy of God. We make our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Stand up and bless the Lord. Our next hymn, 202.
Thank you.
morning, children. How are you? How are you today? Good? Back to school? Enjoying school? Very good. Now let's begin with a few questions. What do you usually do when you leave us here? Because at a certain point you leave us and go to another room. What are some of the things you do when you are away in that special room? I've been there, well decorated, nice looking. What do you do when you go there? No answers? Play? Do you play? Read scripture? Paint? Other crafts? Oh, I'm giving all the answers to the question which I asked. You should have been telling me that. So you play, you paint, you do other crafts, and probably make some noise and enjoy yourselves in your own space. Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy what you do there? That's good. Now, if you went out and found a treasure somewhere, something very nice, what would you do to the rest of your family? Would you come back and tell them that you found a treasure? Yes? You would come back and tell them so that everyone should enjoy that new nice thing which you found. Now, a similar thing happens when we come to the church. And I'm trying to paint a picture of what we should be doing as children of God. Each time you come to church, you learn something, you enjoy something, you go up to your room, as we said before, you do crafts, you talk about Jesus Christ, you learn lessons from that text. Would it not be a wonderful thing if you go to school and share your stories with your friends? Would it not be? It will be. I can see you nodding your heads. So do you sometimes talk to your friends about Jesus? Do you? Wonderful. Now, it will be a good thing also for you to invite them to the church. Don't only talk to them about Jesus, but invite them to the church. Tell them to come to church and see what you do here or what we do here. I'm linking this with the story of Jesus Christ and people who were coming after him. John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, pointed his disciples to Jesus. And Andrew, for example, after spending time with Jesus, went back and told his brother, Simon Peter, and also invited him to come and see Jesus. And so each time somebody came to Jesus and was touched by his teachings and learned from him, the person went back and called another person. Can you imagine all these people in this church bringing one other person next week? There will be no space in the church. And that is called discipleship. So as we come to church every Sunday and as we go afterwards to Sunday school and learn many nice things about this man Jesus, who is our Savior, let us talk about them to our friends, but let us also invite them to the church. I hope that I will see at least one new person in church next week from any of you. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you've given to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you because we can share that love with one another. We continue to pray for our children as they grow in the faith, and that as they learn from you, they are able also to share with their friends and also to invite them to come to you. But we pray for the rest of our congregation that we will be committed to a sense of discipleship and invite others too to come and follow you. So bless us and bless our children and bless the work that we do for you and for humanity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
First reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. entitled Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Then the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and gracious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And the second reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapters 1, verses 43 to 51, entitled Jesus Calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Says Nathanael. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings. Our next hymn is from CH4, number 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that brings life, hope, and strength to our lives. Bless us as we speak and listen to your word, and strengthen us for all that we need to do for your kingdom and for humanity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Come and see. In ancient Judaism, discipleship was taken very seriously. It was taken so seriously that eager disciples would try to follow their teacher everywhere they went. Why? Because they wanted to see the teacher, not just in a classroom setting, though there were no classrooms at the time, but they wanted to see their teachers in real life. They wanted to see how they treated their family, handled money, and did their chores. Disciples would even compete to be present while their teacher made meals and when he went to the bathroom. According to the Talmud, that is a set of teachings on the Torah, one disciple was so eager to learn from his master that he snuck under the bed of his rabbi or the teacher to see what happened when the teacher and his wife went to perform the marriage act. When he was found, his response was surprising. "This too is Torah, and I need to learn." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is really exciting to receive an invitation, sometimes through the mail. When we are invited to share special occasions, we are welcomed to embrace the intimate moments of those that we care about. When we read about Jesus, he offered the most personal invitation to humanity himself. Jesus did not turn crowds and individuals away. Far from being the life and soul of the party, Jesus was interested in those he came into contact with. He met the deepest longings of the human heart, and he continues to do that today. In the preceding verses of our text, John the Baptist pointed Jesus to his disciples. "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him, they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned round and saw them, he asked what they wanted. And instead of answering a straight question with a straight answer, they asked another question. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with Jesus. Now Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew said to Simon Peter what Philip was able to say to Nathanael, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the one of whom Moses and the prophets also wrote." And when Nathanael retorted scornfully, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip used the same words as Jesus had used on the others and said, "Come and see." It's an invitation to a new discovery and even a new and fulfilling life. Dear friends, I don't think that it is accidental that twice in this passage, John records the invitation to come and see. or that twice in the passage the words of personal testimony are used, "We have found the Lord." They went to see, and having gone to see, they found. Isn't that a beautiful assurance for those seeking out God and other rich blessings? Because we are told in Scripture that he who seeks does find, and to him who knocks, the door would be opened. And this sequence still occurs again and again in our own experience today. First comes the biblical testimony, then follows personal testimony, the coming and the seeing for ourselves, and then the confident affirmation is possible. So we can't bear witness to Jesus until we have found him. And we can't find him till we come and see for ourselves. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. Who have you brought to Jesus? The words "come and see" echo personal witness and how our actions impact others. Those first disciples were people whose hearts were captured by Jesus. People went out, found their families and friends, and said to them, "Come and see." We cannot compare or force people to come to Christ. But by the way we live our lives, we can give people the opportunity to want to know Christ. Billy Graham puts it well when he says, "We are the Bibles the world is reading, the creeds the world is needing, the sermons the world is reading." But before Graham, William Temple commented that it is futile saying to people, "Go to the cross." We have got to be able to say, "Come to the cross." And all we need for effective discipleship is not struggling to live like Christ, but allowing his Spirit to come and live in us and to transform us from inside and to save us so that we might be able to preach his saving grace. In the genius of Jesus, John Stott writes, "It is no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and telling me to write a new play just like it. Shakespeare could do it. I can't. And it is no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and telling me to live a life just like it. Jesus could do it. I can't." But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live inside me, I would then be able to write plays like he did. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live inside me, I would then be able to live a life like he did. This is the open secret of how to live as a Christian. It is not about us struggling in vain to become more like Jesus, but about allowing him by the power of his Spirit to come and change us from the inside. Once again, we see that to have him as our example is not enough. We need him as our Savior. Come and see. Jesus Christ did not tell his friends, "Go into all the world and make Christians." He told them to go into the world and make disciples. In fact, the Bible uses the word disciple 269 times. And Jesus' good news is that eternal life, life with God and for God, life under God's care, and life by God's power is available now. If you want that life, the logical step is to become a disciple, a student, an apprentice, a follower of Jesus. Simply put, discipleship is the means by which we learn to live the life that Jesus Christ offers. Christianity was never intended to produce Christians, just disciples. And the New Testament presents a community of disciples that looks much more like a centered set than a bounded set. And the center is Jesus Christ. He defines and incarnates life in the kingdom of God and makes it available to others. This life is a call to love God with all that you are and to love your neighbor as yourself. Let us accept the call of Jesus as it comes to us again from that beautiful song. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Lord, we answer, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company, I will go where your love and footsteps show. Thus, I will move and live and grow in you and you in me. Let us pray. God, our Father, you have asked us to come and follow you. And here we are ready to answer that call, but we confess for time so, Father, when we have not been committed to it. Help us, O Father, not just to follow you, but also to ask others to come, so that together we may walk this journey of faith. Blessed be your name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Hymn 533.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate our offering and ourselves, and let us thank God. God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us so much, and what we bring to you is just part of the many blessings we have received from the abundance of your grace. Take our gifts of money to do your work in the world, and continue to bless us as we serve you. Lord, our God, you have set before us life and good, and death and evil. Let us choose good, let us choose you, that we may live. Let us be better today than yesterday, and better tomorrow than today. Yes, Lord, enable us to lay hold on life by faith in you, by good works done through you, for you came that we might have life evermore and more abundantly, world without end. Lord, our God, you have given us prayer as a means of sharing with you in the task of changing and renewing the world. Help us now to pray with faith and lively expectation. In many places, the lives of people are still poor, nasty, and short. Stir more and more the consciences of those who control the world's wealth, that it may be used for the good of all. We remember the governments and taxpayers of our own and other prosperous nations. We remember scientists and technologists, doctors and nurses. We remember the agencies for relief and aid. But man cannot live on bread alone. He lives on every word you utter. Empower your church throughout the world to speak your name with vitality and clarity. We remember ministers and missionaries in their preaching week by week. We remember theologians and teachers of the young. We remember all Christians in their witness to their neighbors. In the midst of life, we are in death. Awaken in all people a new awareness of the sacredness of life, but teach us so to live that we may not fear to die. We remember those who make war upon their fellow people and kill and maim and wound. Remember those who soon will lay aside this mortal life. We remember those who prepare the dead for burial and those who mourn. We pray this time, O Father, for our own brother and friend, Ali Dempster, who has passed on to glory. We thank you for all his contributions towards the building of your church here in our own parish. We pray now, O Father, that you would accept him at your side and keep him safe until we meet again to part no more. We pray, O God, for his wife, Janet, that you would comfort her and the rest of the family as they mourn, and give them the assurance that sees beyond the grave to the life eternal that you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. For the sake of him who came that people might have life in all its fullness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please rise and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn is hymn 536, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.